And welcome back in GameDaySportsRadio.com. Boji Wood coming to you live from the GameDaySportsRadio.com studios right south of Atlanta, Georgia. This segment brought to you by State Farm Insurance Agent Larry McIntosh over in Pelham, Alabama, right outside of Birmingham. Larry can help you with all the your State Farm insurance needs, whether it be home, life, auto, all the State Farm products Larry can help you with. Larry McIntosh, State Farm Insurance in Pelham, Alabama. You can reach Larry at 205-663-3119. Again, Larry McIntosh, State Farm Insurance, 205-663-3119. We had Travis Everhart earlier talking about some of the Super Bowl activities that he attended up in Minneapolis, and got his take on the game. We've invited back Mike Bernard from OTM Sports. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Coach. A little bit of a Super Bowl hangover, and recruiting's over with now, too. So I guess we have spring football, but I'll be hyper-focused on basketball and baseball here the next few months. But certainly look forward to talking about that game because it was unusual, to say the least. A lot of records were broken in Super Bowl 52.
41-33, the Eagles over the Patriots. Of course, the Eagles had won an NFL championship back pre-Super Bowl days, but this was their first Super Bowl win. And as usual, the folks in Philadelphia, the way they celebrated with turning cars over and starting fires, you can't tell if they won or lost. They celebrate the same way no matter what, a lot like West Virginia fans. No offense to you folks up there in Morgantown.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I was about to refer to the Morgantown couch burning. But it could have been worse. I don't think anyone was killed, and they have their first Super Bowl.
Mike, I'm going to give you some stats here. 28 of 48, 505 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. There's no doubt that that guy right there is the MVP and the Super Bowl winning quarterback, right?
Well, you would think so, but no, and actually – of course, you're talking about Tom Brady's numbers. He put up huge numbers, and those numbers bettered Nick Foles. But Nick Foles' team won the game. But actually, Coach, the quarterback with the best quarterback rating was Trey Burton because he was 1-for-1 and had a quarterback rating of 118.8, and Brady's was 115.4.
Hey, when you're 1-for-1 and a touchdown, that's a pretty good stats right there.
Yeah, I don't know what the max is because, you know, I don't follow the quarterback individual ratings too often, but I'm thinking 118.8 might be the tops.
Nick Foles, and again, he had an outstanding game himself, 28 of 43, 373 yards, 3 touchdowns and an interception. But let's go back to the interception, and it was one where Jeffries was trying to juggle the ball and actually tapped it back to a Patriots defender who got the interception, and he almost came up with that catch. And if you look at you play what if, and this could have happened. Had Jeffries been able to haul that down, right now Foles is going to be well over 400 yards, and he's going to have 4 touchdowns and no interceptions. The guy didn't throw a bad pass all day.
No, Nick Foles played great. And look, I always watch when players are in a pressure situation, whether it be baseball, basketball, football, golf, and I watch their body language. You can tell if they're breathing heavily. You can tell if they're uncomfortable. He never looked uncomfortable. And, of course, the Eagles led after every quarter, but they were, you know, the Patriots did take the lead. But Foles, he just seemed unwavered in it was almost like all the things in his life that have happened and taken place over the last few years. He's like, you know, hey, I'm going to play, do the best I can. He didn't play scared, that's for sure.
This is a guy who just a little over a year ago had decided he would retire, and he came back to be a backup in Kansas City for Alex Smith under Andy Reid, and that's what ended up getting him to Philadelphia, of course, the Doug Peterson, Andy Reid coaching tree. And you don't find a coach in the NFL or any of his coaches in college that don't have great things to say about Nick Foles.
No, and his teammates as well, too. So he seems to be well-liked, seems to be a genuine guy. And although he's not the most vocal leader, I think he leads by example. And when Carson Wentz went down with that injury – the players, you could tell they weren't just saying it because they were supposed to say it. They were saying, hey, we've got confidence in Nick, and we're still a good team. And they went out, and Vegas had them an underdog in just about every game. Well, in the playoffs, they were an underdog at home both times and won and went on to win it all. So the players, the coaching staff, they all had confidence in Foles, and he got the job done.
Of course, he went to Zach Ertz on some key situations. Forget about the five-yard touchdown pass that put the Eagles up with 2:21 to go in the game. But he also hit Zach Ertz on a very important fourth down play. And it got just enough to keep the drive alive. And LeGarrette Blount, what can you say about this young man? You know, people try to write him off. They've been trying to write him off since that ugly incident versus Boise State back when he was at Oregon. He just keeps producing. And he gave 90 yards and a touchdown on 14 carries to his old team, the Patriots. I know LeGarrette Blount was real happy to go back and shake Bill Belichick's hand after that game. Also, Corey Clement, someone who you – it's not a marquee game or not a marquee name, but had a marquee game with four receptions, 100 yards, and a very important touchdown pass.
Yeah, and going back to LeGarrette Blount, I think that guy's grown up a lot, obviously, because, you know, from his college days and his early years in the NFL. And remember, the Patriots didn't cut him once. They cut him twice. So – Blount went to from the Patriots, the Steelers, back to the Patriots, and then to the Eagles. Yeah, you could tell that he was fired up and ready. Not that you need any extra incentive for the Super Bowl, but to give you an idea of how much confidence Peterson had in Blount and how much Blount played into the game plan, Vegas had the over-under for rushing attempts at 14.5 for Ajayi. He only had 9. The rushing attempts for Blount was only 6.5. So they just reversed roles there, and he ran tough. He averaged over 6 yards a carry, scored a touchdown. So yeah, definitely a little cherry on top for him beating his old team.
And smart play by the Doug Peterson, the Eagles staff. Of course, Ajayi was he's still nursing that ankle. He tries to act like he's not, but he's still nursing that tweaked ankle. Now, the Patriots took the lead with 9:22 to go in the game. Gronkowski catches the 4-yard pass from Tom Brady, puts them up 33-32, and that's because Doug Peterson, in what I thought was very questionable, and you know how I feel about this, you don't chase points in the first half, definitely not in the first half. I don't think you start chasing them to the fourth quarter, but Doug Peterson chased some points in the first half after they missed the extra point, and that allowed New England to go up 33-32 instead of the game being tied at 33. But I think when in 9:22 when the Patriots went up, I thought, okay, look. Tom Brady's done his thing. Now Bill Belichick, Mike Patricia, they're going to do their thing on defense. But no, Nick Foles, they took the Eagles right down the field. And Zach Ertz, huge catch from Foles. And, again, they had to go for two. They were still chasing points, and they had to at that point. But they had a 5-point lead. And then, of course, they get the big sack, fumble, and Jake Elliott finishes off the scoring with a 46-yard field goal to make the final score 41-33. It was hard for me to think that Tom Brady was not going to get his 6th Super Bowl ring, but hats off to the Eagles because I always knew that they played well together as a team, and they really rose to the occasion on Sunday evening.
Yeah, they did, and a lot of players stepped up, and you know, they played with a chip on their shoulder the entire postseason. And they didn't just play the underdog role. They were an actual underdog in every game out in Vegas. And, you know, one thing, Coach, that I'll point out, I am so glad that they did not overturn that touchdown. I don't have a rooting interest as far as Eagles or Patriots. I'm looking at point spread and other wagers and so forth. But that was a catch, and then he became a runner because I was watching that, and I was like, if Philadelphia loses their first Super Bowl due to the catch versus non-catch rule, which the rules committee is going to address heavily in the offseason. So I was really glad to see that they called that what it was, because it was a catch, a run, and a bobble. And, kudos to the Eagles and congrats on their first ever Super Bowl win.
I'm in total agreement with you there. I even go back to the Dez Bryant. I still think Dez Bryant was a catch. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. This is what I've got a problem with, is there's a difference between a catch in the field of play and then a catch in the field of play that goes into the end zone, and a difference between a ball that's caught in the end zone. So now you have three different definitions of what an actual catch is, depending upon where the player first touches the football. That makes no sense at all.
No, and I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to take the subjectivity out of the equation, okay, but you can't. And sometimes you just have to go back with common sense. I do like the people that are on that committee. They're looking at all the hypotheticals, and they're going to try to come up with a universal way to a universal rule that will make it more, you know, like the Dez Bryant catch. That's a catch. It wasn't a touchdown, but that's a catch, and it wasn't. And look, remember, that was a playoff game. And it also affected the point spread and the over-under in that game as well, because I remember it. But it affected whether Dallas or Green Bay advanced in the playoffs. And in my mind, I've watched thousands of hours of football. You've coached and watched thousands of hours of football. That was a catch, but not under those rules.
Mike, it looks like the Eagles coaching staff is going to stay intact, and they're a young team. I think that you look at this team that finished 13-3 and went on and won the Super Bowl. I think that this is a team that's got a bright future. I think right now in New England, you've got a lot of questions. You got fewer questions now than you did at the beginning of the week. But, of course, Mike, Patricia left. He, defensive coordinator, he left. He took the head coaching job with the Lions. Josh McDaniel, he leaves, takes the coaching job with the Colts. But wait, no, he decides to go back to the Patriots. And then Greg Schiano decides to be the Patriots defensive coordinator, leaving Ohio State. And then less than 48 hours later, no, I'm going back to Ohio State. Something's up in the air there in New England.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. And I haven't looked into it and haven't talked to some of my contacts. But one thing, maybe the Josh McDaniels deal, people can presume and speculate that, okay, Andrew Luck is not going to play. And so, there's something terribly wrong with Andrew Luck, because McDaniels is not going to go to the Colts if Andrew Luck can't play. And he agreed to take the job, and now he doesn't. So that makes me concerned for Andrew Luck's health.
Right. I'm total agreement with you there, Mike. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us. We want to come back. We'll talk a little bit more about Belichick and his coaching tree and links to Parcells. And we'll do that and more on GameDaySportsRadio.com.